Welcome back to God's house. God is good. Welcome to St. Mark's Lutheran Church, and thanks for joining us online, those joining us here to worship. Today we're going to celebrate, like we always do, God's grace. And today especially we're going to celebrate that because we consider how unfair God's grace is. And that's something that you and I can struggle with sometimes, how unfair God's grace is, but that's a good thing. And that's what we'll celebrate today as well. On a one note, as we go through the liturgy and everything and the hymns, it's all printed for you here. Please keep an eye out on the liturgy and read carefully because you might try to get into what you remember and what you've memorized in the past. It's been adapted a little bit to fit the theme of today, so keep that in mind as we go through. And we'll also be celebrating the Lord's Supper, as you can see in today's service, so please prepare your minds and hearts to receive the very body and blood of our Lord Jesus. We'll go through the process of that right before we partake today. For everything else, like I said, you can find it in the bulletin, so let us begin our worship as we celebrate God's amazing grace with the song, Amazing Grace. God's blessings on your worship this morning. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear friends, let us approach God with a true heart and confess our self-righteous sins, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us.
Lord of life, I confess that I am by nature dead in sin, for selfish pride and a lack of love, for sins of anger and sins of jealousy, for the evil I have delighted in and the good I have failed to do, you should cast me away from your presence forever. O Lord, I am sorry for my sins. Forgive me for Jesus' sake.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. In his abounding mercy, God made us alive in Christ even when we were dead in our sins. Hear the word of Christ through his called servant. I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace. Now let us pray to the Lord. For the well-being of not just believers, but all people everywhere, that they may receive from you all they need to sustain body and life, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord,
for the spread of your life-giving gospel throughout the world, that all who are lost in sin, no matter how great, may be brought to faith in you, hear our prayer, O Christ. For patience and perseverance in this life, that we may not lose our own hope of heaven as we await your return, graciously hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord,
Lord of life, live in us and give us your heart, that we may live for you in grace and joy. Amen. We pray. Lord God, you call us to work in your kingdom and leave no one standing idle. Help us to order our lives by your wisdom and to serve you in willing obedience. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We now go to God's Word as our first lesson comes from Jonah chapter 4. Jonah learned a very good lesson about God's compassion for all people. Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the plant. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm, which chewed the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, "It would be better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" "It is," he said, "and I'm so angry I wish I were dead." But the Lord said, "You have been concerned about this plant. Though you did not tend it or make it grow, it sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals?" A word of the Lord. Join together to remind ourselves, who is our light? Our second lesson comes from Romans chapter 9, where Paul reminds us that we are saved not because of anything we've done, but simply God's choice to have mercy on us. It is not as though God's word had failed, for not all who are descended from Israel are Israel, nor because they are his descendants are they all Abraham's children. On the contrary, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. In other words, it is not the children by physical descent who are God's children, but it is children of the promise who are regarded as Abraham's offspring. For this was how the promise was stated: at the appointed time I will return, and Sarah will have a son. Not only that, but Rebekah's children were conceived at the same time by our father Isaac. Yet, before the twins were born or had done anything good or bad, in order that God's purpose and election might stand, not by works, but by him who calls, she was told, "The older will serve the younger." Just as it is written, "Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated." What then shall we say? Is God unjust? Not at all, for he says to Moses, "I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion." It does not, therefore, depend on human desire or effort, but on God's mercy. The word of the Lord. The gospel reading for today comes from Matthew chapter 20, where Jesus shows us that God is not fair. He's generous. Jesus says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. He went out again about noon and about 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, 'Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?' 'Because no one has hired us,' they answered. He said to them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first.' The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius. So when those who came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. 'These who were hired last worked only 1 hour,' they said, 'and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day?' But he answered one of them, 'I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?' So the last will be first, and the first will be last." The Gospel of the Lord. The hymn of the day reminds us of how our salvation comes to us. We sing selected verses. God's grace is yours and for all people, brothers and sisters. Thanks to God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who brings it to our hearts. Amen. The sermon text for today comes from the first lesson in Jonah chapter 4. If you'd like to follow along, let's begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your compassion. Amen. There's a very common practice, especially young people in China, and a lot of different countries where there are multiple languages, and that's that people will have two different names. So, for example, in China, someone will have a Chinese name, but they'll also have, a lot of times, an English name. When we were there a number of years ago and leading Bible studies, we had a lot of fun. Sometimes people would come up, they didn't have an English name yet, and they would want us, English speakers, to help them pick one. And if they're in one of our Bible studies, of course, they would like it if it was chosen from Scripture. Well, there was one study that we had with college students, and there was one guy that came, and he was pretty new to the faith, but he hadn't had an English name yet, and so he asked for a little bit of help. But everything that we would tell him, every name that we would offer, he didn't like. Just didn't fit him, he says. All right, so Jacob, nah. David, nah. Isaiah, nah. Finally, after a little bit, we gave up. We thought, oh, well, maybe we'll find one eventually. Well, all of a sudden, we're studying right in the middle of the book of Jonah. And he goes, that's it? And we're like, what are you talking about? What's it? He says, that's the name. I'm going to be Jonah. Why did he pick that one? Because Jonah was stubborn and grumpy and obstinate, and he says, that's me. I'm Jonah. And it's true. If you look throughout the book of Jonah, look at what Jonah did. God gave him this message, this gracious message to preach against Nineveh and bring about their repentance. And what did Jonah do? Bolted in the opposite direction to Tarshish. God sent the storm. Jonah was thrown overboard. God saved his life through a great fish, and God gave Jonah the message one more time. This time Jonah went, but even his reaction to what had happened after that shows his stubbornness. And it doesn't just show his stubbornness. There's something at the heart of his stubbornness that is also a threat to you and me. So while Jonah might be a good name and might be fitting for us oftentimes, today we're going to remind ourselves, don't be a Jonah. God's grace is for all people. Now, when you're a preacher and there's visible results to your message, you think it's a time for rejoicing, correct? Fruits of repentance are happening. Well, Nineveh repented, God relented from the calamity, and let's praise God, right, Jonah? But this was his response at the beginning of chapter 4. Said, isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. In other words, Lord, I know that you're gracious and compassionate, and I tried to do the right thing by preventing that for this evil, wicked people, Assyria. Our greatest enemies, Lord, they're known for their cruelty. And you want to forgive them? Okay, sure. Can't believe you would do that. Might as well just kill me now, Lord. What selfishness that Jonah's showing here. The Lord's response to that was just a simple question. Is it right for you to be angry? In other words, Jonah, I could have squashed you like a bug when you disobeyed my direct command. Not to mention all those other sins that you've committed in your life, Mr. Stubborn. Is it right for you to be angry at me showing compassion and grace to someone? Jonah's response to that one? That's the beginning of our text today. Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. He goes up on the higher outskirts of town for a good vantage point so that he can see and hope that Nineveh would backslide in their repentance, turn back towards their sins, and that God would send the calamity anyway. This is a man who knew God's grace and compassion, professed it, a man who was a messenger of that grace and compassion as a prophet, and who was graciously given opportunities to converse with God himself. And he wanted these people to turn back toward evil and really go to hell. Don't be a Jonah. God's grace is for all people. Yet we can be a Jonah, can't we? Whether it's in the moment or over a long period of time, we can all be Jonahs, each one of us. A lot of times we like to harbor anger, and it kind of builds up, especially with those who sin against us maybe often, like those who are in our lives every single day. We can harbor anger, and it can build up against our spouse when their sinful habits get to us. I have two older sisters, and yep, siblings can get on each other's nerves as well. Roommates too. Maybe there's someone at your work who can get to you and you can kind of have some anger festering over them. Maybe your boss you wish God would smite in some way. Or maybe that's too harsh. You just don't want them to be happy, right? That's different. Well, it's not just those who sin against us every day either. It's also those who we purposely hold on to issues with and anger with over a long period of time. We can hold grudges against people. We can see as our enemy, so-called enemy, people of a different political party. Those who sin against us, we especially delight in. When they really hurt us badly, we want God to hurt them badly too. We take sinful pleasure in that. And we're Christians. We're knowers of God's grace and compassion. We're messengers of God's grace and compassion. Yet we can be such Jonahs sometimes. And why? Why can we be like Jonah like that? Well, why was Jonah like that? It's because of something deep at its heart, something very dangerous, self-righteousness. Ninevites be damned, Jonah thought, and literally be damned. He wanted them gone because they didn't deserve God's grace. They weren't God's people. Israelites were God's people. Jonah was a prophet. Of course, they would deserve God's grace after all the things they had done even. But the Ninevites, those wicked, evil people, even them, Lord? It isn't fair, Lord, that you freely forgive and that I have to freely forgive my spouse, my siblings, my roommates, my grudge match contestant, my so-called enemy, the one who hurt me so badly. Lord, how could you have grace upon them? I can understand how you could have it upon me, but them? You see who that sounds like? It sounds like Jonah. Don't be a Jonah. God's grace is for all people. There was a lesson that Jonah needed to learn, and it wasn't just about himself and his own heart. It was about God's heart. So God provided that lesson. And I stress that word provided purposely, because in the next three verses, in each of them, we're going to hear that God provided something. This is a gracious object lesson that God ordains for Jonah. First, we hear, the Lord God provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the plant. And well, he should be. You would be too. It could get crazy hot in Assyria. Very difficult to be there. We here in Northern California know a lot about heat lately. Well, there it could get really hot too. That's why he built a thicket over himself with some leaves. But apparently that had dried out because the sun was beating down on him. So how nice it was that God miraculously caused a leafy plant to grow up to provide some shade. You would be happy too. But we don't just hear that Jonah was a little happy. We literally hear that he rejoiced a great joy over the plant. Let that irony hit you for a second. This is the first time in the book of Jonah that we have heard that Jonah felt joy. It didn't happen when he was given that gracious message to share. Even when he was saved by that great fish, we hear that he praised and thanked God, but it never said he rejoiced a great joy. We didn't hear it when Nineveh repented and God be praised, calamity was averted. No, we hear it here, over a plant. So God's object lesson was all set up. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm, which chewed the plant so that it withered. The one thing that brought Jonah joy, God took away just as quickly as it had come. But God wasn't done. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, "It would be better for me to die than to live." Can you believe the stubbornness of this man? Are we that stubborn ever? So listen to God's lesson. God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" "It is," he said. "And I'm so angry, I wish I were dead." But the Lord said, "You have been concerned about this plant. Literally, you have had compassion upon this plant. Though you did not tend it or make it grow, it sprang up overnight and died overnight." Jonah's heart went out to this plant, but he didn't do anything for it. It's not like he was a gardener taking care of it carefully every single day, providing everything it needed. No, God was the one who did it, and it was a miracle of one day. And yet Jonah's heart went out to this plant. So then think about God's next question. "And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals?" And that's how the book of Jonah ends. It ends with a question. Now, the implied answer to that question is very important. It was important for Jonah. It's important for us. So let's break that question down. God mentions 120,000 people who can't tell their right hand from their left. Either he's talking about all of Nineveh and how they're spiritually ignorant, or he's literally talking about 120,000 people who don't know their right hand from their left, so young children, which would put the estimates at the number of people in that city roughly around 600,000, that in its suburbs. So this is a huge city, either way you think of it. It's kind of like the L.A. or New York of that day. Think of it that way. Lots of people. But then he also talks about animals, and actually the book actually ends on animals. Why does he mention animals? Well, they're his creatures too. God takes care of them. He provides for them food and water. He can provide shelter for them, even gives them instincts to do that. God provides people to take care of them too. He puts a lot more effort into animals even than Jonah put into this plant, which was nothing. So then what's the obvious implied answer? Should God be concerned about that great city? Yes. Not just the animals, but think about the compassion he has for those people. All those people, every single human on this earth, every single person in that city, God takes great care for. He tries to guide them. He provides for them. He tries to use difficult things to get them to look up. He tries to put people like us in their lives so that they can recognize his grace all the more. He sent his son to die for every single sin of every single person. He knows every hair on every person's head. He knows them all by name. Should God be concerned and have compassion? Absolutely. They're his creatures. He has compassion over every one of them. So what right do we have to be angry that God would show grace to anyone? What right do we have to refuse that grace to others in our lives? And is it right for us to be delighted in sin when something bad happens to them instead of joyful like God is? Don't you see how terrible of a sin that is? That might be right up there with some of the worst. What right do you think God has to be angry at us? And yet God, in His grace, sent someone to be far greater than Jonah. When He sent His Son Jesus, Jesus sure was not a Jonah like we can be. No, Jesus was happy to share the message with anybody who was there. Jesus rejoiced over the repentance of a Samaritan woman, of a Canaanite woman, of a Roman, keep in mind Israel's enemy, Roman centurion. Jesus shared long gospel with everyone, especially His enemies, as He was trying to get them to turn from their wickedness. As they were crucifying Him, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them." Jesus sure was not a Jonah. God be praised, because that's what we needed. And God, with His right to be angry at us, leveled that anger upon Christ instead of you and me. And now on the cross, that provides cleansing for every wicked thing that we have ever done, every wicked thought, every wicked delight we've ever had, cleansed. And the one who was greater than Jonah proved it again after 3 days when He didn't rise from the belly of a fish. No, He rose from the dead, a sign of God's grace and compassion for everyone. And now God graciously says, "Do not call unclean what I have made clean." And that is graciously for you and me. And God in His patience now graciously teaches us through this same object lesson about His compassion for all people. So what does He want us to do in response then? Well, instead of being filled with self-righteousness, He wants us to be filled with graciousness, just like Him. Instead of letting ourselves get filled up with anger, He wants us to be filled with patience for others. That means, don't be a Jonah. In your life, when you have that moment when someone sins against you, remind yourself, don't be a Jonah. Be patient with them, just as God was patient with Nineveh, Jonah, and me. When you are tempted to withhold forgiveness out of spite for someone, remind yourself, don't be a Jonah. God wants me to freely proclaim His grace to others as it was freely proclaimed to me, though I didn't deserve it. When you are tempted to take delight in someone else's calamity, remind yourself, don't be a Jonah. God relented from calamity for me. I pray that God relents from others as well, and we rejoice along with God when He does that. God be praised that He can take our hearts and turn them into not Jonahs. Do you think this is something that Jonah learned? Obviously. Who do you think shared this and made sure it was written down for ages to come? Jonah humbled himself, recognized his self-righteousness and God's grace for all people, and he made sure to share this lesson with us. So in that way, be like a Jonah. Go ahead, share that message of God's grace upon you too. But for all of other Jonah's faults, Jonah would agree. Don't be a Jonah. God's grace is for all people. Amen. May that grace and peace guard your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus Christ. We now confess our faith in what Jesus did for us according to the words of what we call the Nicene Creed, an ancient creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen.
We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We thank you for your continued support through of this ministry of God's grace through your offerings. While we aren't able to pass around a collection plate, just a reminder that you can hand in your offering on the way out there on the table. You can also submit them online, so thank you for doing that. We continue with the prayer of the church and the Lord's Prayer. In the prayer of the church, we keep on our minds, especially those suffering from health challenges. That includes Sherry Lang. We include a prayer for those celebrating anniversaries and birthdays. We also include a prayer for those who are suffering from the loss of loved ones. And that includes the family of Jared, who is Morgan Luckleen's friend in college, as well as an Indian brother of ours. His name is Anil, who lost his three-year-old son to meningitis a few weeks ago, and then just recently lost also their newborn. So we keep his family in our prayers as well. We also include a prayer for those suffering from the fires. We pray. Gracious Lord God, we praise and thank you and rejoice a great joy over your grace given us in Jesus. Continue to guide our hearts to appreciate the fact that your grace extends even to us. Help us to continue to share that message with all who need to hear and know it, even when it's difficult for us to do so. Empower us to overcome any obstacles we have in our hearts. Father, make your power known in the minds and hearts of all who are faced with health challenges this week. As they face their challenges, Lord, give their bodies strength and healing. Bless the work of doctors and nurses who provide for their care. Holy Spirit, please make your presence known in the lives of those celebrating birthdays and anniversaries this week. Strengthen them to trust even more in your promises of forgiveness, grace, and eternal life. God of all compassion, please comfort all who mourn the loss of loved ones this week. Give them the solid assurance of eternal life and the life we'll have in your presence forever. Bless them with good days and shine your love even brighter on difficult days. Lord, please take care of those whose homes are in the path of the fires. Give them peace in knowing you will always be there for them, and motivate your people to come to their aid and proclaim your love. We make all of these requests in Jesus' name, who also taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Continue with the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Blessed are you, O Lord of heaven and earth. We praise and thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, and we remember the great acts of love through which he has ransomed us and all people from sin, death, and the devil's power. By his incarnation, he became one with us. By his perfect life, he fulfilled your holy will. By his innocent death, he overcame hell. By his rising from the grave, he opened heaven. Invited by your grace and instructed by your word, we approach your table with repentant and joyful hearts. Strengthen us through Christ's body and blood, and preserve us in the true faith until we feast with him and all his ransomed people in glory everlasting. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Now, just a reminder of the process for the distribution. Once again, we will be exiting. Everyone always exits from the outside of their pew, and this side will start up here. We'll kind of work our way back up there, and we'll come back down this way. Now, you're going to go all the way around there on this side, partake here, and you're going to kind of hairpin back and always return to the middle. No matter what side you're on, always return to the middle as we go through this. The hymns are printed for you there in the bulletin. May God bless you, and everything is now prepared. the true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen you and preserve you in true faith until life everlasting. Go in peace. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. Please stand for prayer. We pray. We give you thanks, O Lord, for the foretaste of the heavenly banquet that you have given us to eat and to drink in this sacrament. Through this gift, you have fed our faith in your grace, nourished our hope won by Christ, and strengthened our love for all people. By your Spirit, help us to live in this world as a people reflecting your heart, until that day when you will receive us as your guests at the wedding supper of the Lamb, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Be seated for our closing hymn. Good morning again. It's a pleasure to worship with you in God's house, and thanks for joining us online, those of you out there. A few announcements for you. Please stick around now for Bible study that will take place in the sanctuary. It will be a shorter Bible study to accommodate our new schedule for today. So please stick around for that. Sunday school is available online. Another lesson for you, lesson 14. You can find that on our Staying Connected to God's Word page as well as in our weekly email blast. A big welcome to our visitors, whether here or online. If you get a chance, we're not going to hand out a connection card to you here, but if you get a chance to go online and fill out our online connection card, we'd love to be able to connect with you and learn more about you. Now, a few other announcements. So LWMS Mission Box is today. You will find that, the pink box over there, kind of on the information center by the bulletin board over there. So please put that on your mind and heart to give to LWMS today. Our Jesus Cares worship, it'll actually be kind of a gathering together online today at 2 p.m. So if you need that link, or if you'd like to join us, that's our special needs ministry. If you'd like to join us, let us know. We'll get you that link. But that's at 2 p.m. today online. We're starting a new 20s, 30s Bible study, and we're going to Try to do it outside. The air quality might not be good enough today at 5 p.m. If that happens, we'll go to and social distance in the gym very carefully. But the kids will be able to play out in the field, and then we'll be able to have them kind of separate and social distance in the gym as well. Either way, so please check that out. 20s, 30s Bible study, that's at 5 p.m. today here on campus. Let's see, please see the other note as well for the Bible studies coming up in the weekly news. Please check that out. There's no Monday worship at this point, just to kind of accommodate for things with the school cleaning and everything, but we've got some other things there. But no Monday worship at this point yet. Mornings with Mommy will be live on Facebook once again this Tuesday. The recording can be available later on, so if you have a younger child, please check that out online Tuesday at 10 a.m. Also, any, you know, kind of last chance, but also just an FYI, for all the non-St. Mark's Lutheran School catechism students, we're going to have a Google Meet, just a reminder, a Google Meet at 8 a.m. on Saturday, so bright and early on Saturday today. It's going to be this week. It'll be our first kind of gathering for this year for that catechism class, so please make sure to attend that. And if you know of anybody interested, please let me know, email me this week. So just a reminder as before we exit that the kind of the procedures, we ask those in the back to exit first and go out that way, and then we'll kind of work our way up towards the front. Please don't linger right now yet. You can come back in for Bible study, but for now, please make your way on out the door, and you can do social distance and greet outside. Please stick around and do that outside. God's blessings to you, and have a great week.